Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Friday, February 3rd. I'm Nick Roman with the afternoon edition of the LA Report from KPCC and LAist. Here are the stories we've been following today. Three empty lots. What's happening with all three? All swirl around housing in Southern California. We start with a fenced-off lot in South LA, not far from the USC campus. The old Bethune Library used to be there. It's 3/4 acre on South Vermont Avenue, and a developer wants to build a 168-room Marriott hotel there. Well, housing advocates say that lot should be used for affordable housing. Back in December, they helped convince the South LA Area Planning Commission to deny a permit for that hotel project. Today, the LA City Council voted 10-1 to go ahead and build the hotel. Raul Claros is with the El Salvador Corridor Association. It's a group of 150 businesses and vendors in that area. Claros says the neighborhood needs the hotel.
Good paying union jobs, as well as an economic engine. But yet, Vermont is needed a new vision, and we're happy that this will be part of that.
The lot is in Marquise Harris Dawson's 8th City Council District. He also wants the hotel built so his district can get tourist dollars and not just traffic when the World Cup and the Olympics come to Los Angeles. Now to an empty lot that overlooks Lincoln Heights. A developer wants to build a big house on it. But that plan caused an uproar in the surrounding community. And our LA Explained reporter Caitlin Hernandez says that empty lot will remain empty for now.
It's called the Flat Top, a grass and dirt hill where people have jogged through and watched the sunset for generations. Although people can visit it, it is privately owned. Its future has been in limbo after plans were developed to build a 4,000-square-foot house on the perch. And after a 2-year delay, LA City Planning issued a denial, citing many of the same issues residents raised. The zoning administrator said the project wouldn't match the community because it's much larger and the design was uncharacteristic to the neighborhood. It wouldn't have safe emergency access either. The builders wanted an exemption from widening and paving a route that fire trucks can't drive on. And at the crux of the decision was the hilltop's documented status as sacred Native American land. The neighborhood council was against the project, and its president says people's voices were heard. I'm Caitlin Hernandez.
You can learn more about the Flat Top at LAist.com. Now to our third story about an empty lot. It's near the Long Beach Airport. The Long Beach Utilities Commission plans to turn it into a place where people who live in RVs can dump waste and refill with water. We're talking about people who, if not for those RVs, have no place to stay. Eric Lopez directs Long Beach Public Works. He says it'll take about 3 months to prep the lot as a waste and water site for RVs. And he says anyone who wants to use it will have to register with the city.
In order to access this service, people experiencing homelessness will be referred through the multi-service center, making them eligible to not only utilize the site for sanitation, dumping, and water filling, but also to future portable showers that we will be installing in the coming weeks.
No overnight parking on that lot, just a place for RVs to dump waste and take on water. It's one step Long Beach is taking to deal with homelessness in the city. Saturday at noon at the Greek Theater, L.A. will pay tribute to the late, great P-22, the wandering urban mountain lion who left his home in the Santa Monica Mountains about a decade ago, somehow then got across two busy L.A. freeways safely, and settled into what turned out to be a lonely life in Griffith Park. Well, as you know, he began roaming into nearby neighborhoods late last year and started attacking dogs. California Fish and Wildlife then caught him, saw that he'd been badly injured, probably after getting hit by a car or truck, and decided to put him down. Beth Pratt is the regional director of the National Wildlife Federation. She says urban LA is building homes deeper and deeper into wildlands.
Listen, we know people have to live and build, you know, houses for that, but how can we, in these sort of urban wild interfaces in, you know, LA, a lot of the greater Los Angeles area is that, how do we look at sort of a compromise where both can exist?
Beth Pratt. We'll talk more with Beth later in the LA Report about human encroachment into wildlife habitat and how wildlife crossings can help mountain lions, bobcats, and other wild critters roam easily. Hey, do you like riding trains and buses? Well, then this is your weekend. Suzanne Watley told you this morning that Amtrak trains will start rolling again through South Orange County now that repairs are done on a section of tracks in South San Clemente. Those tracks have a shaky bluff on one side, pounding surf on the other. They began to shift a few months ago, and it took a few months to secure the tracks, but that work has been done. Amtrak will now run to and from San Diego, but still no metro link to Oceanside. And Sunday is the birthday of the late Rosa Parks, the black woman in Alabama who refused to move to the back of a segregated bus in Montgomery in 1955 and launched the Montgomery bus boycott in the process. To honor Rosa Parks, LA Metro was offering free rides on all its buses and trains on Sunday. The death of the beloved Griffith Park mountain lion P22 is renewed talk about humans encroaching on places where wild animals live. We are building homes deeper into canyons, farther into forests, the places where mountain lions, bobcats, bears, and other wildlife live. So let's bring back Beth Pratt to talk about all of it. She is the California Regional Director of the National Wildlife Federation. And Beth, give me a sense of how the dividing line between urban Southern California and wild Southern California has changed over the years.
It's all wild. And I think that's the first thing we all need to recognize, that we are part of nature and nature is part of us. And I think, you know, a cat like P22 showed us that. And indeed, for wildlife to have a future, and for ourselves to have a future, we need to start looking at where wildlife can be differently and what their habitat needs are. And there's no doubt that, yes, what has changed significantly is that we are developing in areas we haven't before, and that we are just increasing our footprint on this planet. The number one threat to wildlife worldwide is a loss of habitat. So we just need to rethink this.
You know, that point about the loss of habitat, I mean, we sort of right now are thinking of it in terms of mountain lions, but it exists even in terms of butterflies.
Absolutely. I mean, think of the monarch butterfly. When I was a child, you know, they were in the millions and millions. I saw them all the time. They were just something I think we took for granted. And look at that collapse. That's an animal, you know, possibly going to be on its way out in our lifetimes. And so, yeah, this is, you know, every size animal, whatever, you know, up and down the food chain, our behavior has consequences. And I think we are waking up to that. And I think what is inspiring to me is look at, you know, Los Angeles is setting an example for how we can do better. We're building the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing to help these animals survive in a highly human environment and to try to navigate one of the biggest challenges, which is our freeways.
We're talking with Beth Pratt. She is the California Regional Director of the National Wildlife Federation. And I wanted to ask you about a note that I got today from UC Davis about maps that they've developed that show that one or two mountain lions were killed every week on California roads and highways between 2015 to 2022. And, you know, you add it up, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of mountain lions over the years.
You know, we don't have, you know, unlimited mountain lions in California. Mountain lions are extremely self-regulating. They will not share territory, especially the males. They'll fight to the death. So, you know, in California, the estimates I've seen, and nobody knows for sure, but we kind of do the math based on territory size and where they can inhabit. The estimate that CDFW gives is between 1,500 and 5,000. So if you're taking out 535 in 8 years, that's a pretty significant chunk of the population.
You mentioned the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing over the 101 freeway in Agoura Hills. It's supposed to open sometime next year. It's great. It'll help, but it's only one.
We know that where we're putting the Wallace-Annenberg Crossing was one of the most critical parts in the whole state for wildlife connectivity, and we know that from you know, sort of decades of study. But it's not the only one. It may be the most critical. And, you know, I could rattle off freeway numbers that most people rattle off when they're giving directions. But the 15, the 5, the 126, the, you know, I'm just talking Southern California, and I could keep going. And even some secondary roads like Mulholland or Las Virgenes. So, yeah, we are not stopping with that one.
Beth Pratt, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Beth Pratt, the regional director of the National Wildlife Federation. Thanks for listening to the LA Report. Join Julia Paskin over the weekend when she brings you our next episode of the LA Report.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.